morning. You know, we're entering in, it's December. We're entering in the holiday time, holiday spirit. And you know what? I just want to encourage you, keep Christ first. Amen. Keep Christ first. You know, it's not how much we get or what we don't get, but it's what was given unto us over 2,000 years ago, people. Over 2,000 years ago, the great God Jehovah gave his son to us. The incarnation, that's just God in the flesh. That's what that means. God in the flesh was born over 2,000 years ago for us. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Or raise up your phone, whatever you want to do. I know nowadays it's like, okay. This is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You know, one of the greatest arrows or weapons that God has given to the Christian is being able to pray to the most powerful being in all the world. Can you imagine? God has given us the ability for you and I as Christians, no matter where we live, in Gaydon, Kaplan, wherever we are, that God has given us the greatest ability to go to him, to petition him for whatever things that are upon our hearts and our minds. And it's really up to him how he wants to answer it. Amen. You know, we can believe from what the word says, but it's always in the hands of God, always in his hands. Now look at this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 24. It says this, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Whatsoever things you desire. Now, you know, we got to make sure that we are seeking God. And if we are seeking God, we will only pray for the things that God will put upon our hearts and upon our lives. But it says this, "Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." And look, that is a great promise to the believer. That is a great promise to the believer, because he knows the things that weigh upon our hearts. He knows the things that weigh upon our lives. He knows how we petition him for things that are upon our lives. And we need God to move upon those situations. What we desire. You see, if we're seeking God, we will desire the things of God. And we will not get out of that will. But if we're seeking God, which we should do in the morning, at noon, at night, however you want to do it. Daniel, it says that he opened up the windows. Oh, hallelujah. Daniel would open up those windows and face where the temple was. And he would pray morning, noon, and night, constantly, constantly. Now we have the Holy Spirit that we can pray for things that we don't even know we're praying for. But it's a prayer language that God has given to his people, whoever wants it and desires it. The power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Whatsoever we shall ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. It doesn't say we might, but we shall receive it according to his will. You might say, "Well, can I petition God for this or that?" You can petition God for whatever you want or for whatever he lays upon your heart. You got to remember this, though. We don't twist the arm of God in telling him what we should have. We petition before him and we request certain things, but it's up to him how he wants to answer it. Sometimes you hear people praying and you're going, "Oh my God, are they really praying to the great God Jehovah?" And hey, let me tell you, I believe in being bold with our prayers, because it says to be bold, to come before him. That means confidence in him, that he will answer the prayers that we've been praying about. praying about certain things. God is a God that answers prayer. Sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's no. And let me tell you, the Christian world today doesn't want to believe that God says no. But that is truth beyond measure. Because he knows what is best for you and I. He knows. He loves us. He cares about us. But we have this promise that whatever we shall desire, if it's according to the will of God and our relationship to him, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Look, people, as Christians, we can walk in confidence. Not in ourselves, but in the God that we serve. Confident in him that as we pray, God will move in his timing and how he wants to do it. I know we have been praying for people to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, salvation is utmost. Because you see, without Christ, heaven can never be our home. Probably I can talk to each and every one of you. And you can tell me how God saved your soul. Oh my God, the stories. The stories that would go forth, how God miraculously moved upon your heart, brought you up to a place where you knew there was the only one place you could go to, and that was Jesus Christ, the Father through his Son. How God moved upon you to save your soul. I think of myself 40-something years ago, how the power of the presence of God moved upon my heart. I was 15 and headed straight to hell. Can you imagine? Life didn't even really start yet. But God in his saving power intervened. Never thought I'd ever be a preacher declaring the praises of God to a lost and dying generation. You see, we don't know what God will do in your heart and life. Don't limit God. Don't limit the God that you serve. You might say, well, Pastor, you're a good preacher. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for your confidence. But I tell you, I thank God for the many things he's given unto me. Amen. I look at this place and I'm going, Lord, how great you are. How great you are. Looking at what God has done in your heart and in your life. How he saved you. How he brought you from a place of destruction to a place where God has given life unto you. That doesn't mean you didn't have some struggles and you didn't go through pain in life. But you had a God that stood next to you no matter what. And you believed in a God that could change things and make things happen. The power of Almighty God. The power and the anointing of Almighty God. And I remember being saved that day. Not long after that, being water baptized. And I remember driving home. I said, Mom, I feel something here. You know what it was? It was just the Spirit of the Lord being filled with the Holy Ghost. That night, I was laying on bed just praying. And all of a sudden, just started speaking in tongues. You might say, Pastor, is that for today? Let me tell you, God didn't do away with salvation. God didn't do away with being filled with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking in tongues. That's the power to the church. That's why we have so many failed ministries, because the power is not there. When the power is there, the Spirit of God moves upon a people, moves upon a generation, moves upon a people that will seek him and honor him. He would say, well, is this church filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, it is. Do you speak in tongues, Pastor? Yes, I do. I don't go throughout the store speaking in tongues all over. You have to use wisdom. But it's a prayer language. Look at it in Acts chapter 2. Look at it, how God filled that church. Then they went out with power and authority. You look at Acts chapter 9:10. Look at when it was called the Gentile Pentecost, where the power of Almighty God came into that place, because they thought it was just for the Jewish people. Look, they thought salvation was only for the Jewish people. Anybody a Jew here? You Jewish? No. That means we're all Gentiles. That means they were saying salvation wasn't for us. But you see, God is not a respecter of persons. He loves his people. He chose the Israelites, you know, to be the replica of the people that would give out the word, and they rejected it. So he went to the Gentiles, and you know what he did? He grafted us into the vine and said, "These people shall declare my word." Declare my word to this lost and dying generation. And thank God somebody shared the gospel with each and every one of us. Thank God that these people that shared the word was not afraid to share the word, wasn't embarrassed to share the word, but gave it unto us that we can sense and feel and have the salvation and the blood of Jesus covering us. We thought it'd be a-okay. And it is a-okay with God. But that doesn't mean we won't have problems too sometimes. God can come in and help us through all situations, through all things. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 6. Page 636. Well, actually, where I'm going to read from is going to be 637. They had the king of Syria. The king of Syria hated the Israelites. I mean, hatred. You see that today. You see such a hatred towards the Israelite people, towards Christianity. The sufferings that Christians are going through throughout the world. You see, Christians are the most prosecuted or persecuted people in all the world. We don't see it maybe much in America. No, we're seeing a little bit. But throughout the world, you have religions of Islam and Buddha and all that stuff that are coming against Christianity and trying to destroy it. But they don't realize that our king is the great God Jehovah. Amen. That there's any that God will not let his church be destroyed by the enemy. But his church will overcome the enemy because God has set up a standard and stopped the enemy, has hindered the enemy from doing what he wants to do. God is a God that is great, and there's no one above him. And he is our God, he is our Lord, and he is our Savior. He goes before us. The stories, I'm sure each and every one of you could tell me stories about how God met you in your home, how God met you on your job, how God has given you visions and dreams. My God, there's no other God that could do those things. How God has answered a prayer for you that nobody knew, not even your spouse or your children. And God comes through. Because you see, we serve a God that comes through when his people kneel before him and pray and seek his face. He is obligated by the word of God to bring about those things that we are praying about. We don't back up, but we go forward in the things of God, letting God move like he wants to move. People, I'm telling you, seek God. Matthew 6:33 said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness." Seek him. You might say, well, how do... And look, that doesn't mean you have to go in your room. You could just pray however. Lord, I love you. You're seeking him. Lord, I pray for my children. You're seeking him. Lord, I'm praying for my spouse. You're seeking him. Lord, I'm looking to you. You're seeking him. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that can do mighty things as we look to him. the king of Syria hated the Israelites. But you see, they didn't realize that the Israelites' God was on their behalf at this time. He wanted to know who was telling the king of Israel his secrets. They didn't realize that Elisha the prophet, God would tell the Israelite king what the Syrian king was thinking about doing to them. When the Syrian king was, it says, in his bedchambers, that means his bedroom, and no one else was there, he would think of things to do to the Israelites. And God was there listening. He knew. And he'd go and tell the prophet Elisha. Let me tell you, and Elisha would go to the king of Israel and tell him what was about to happen. You see, look, God knows what to do at certain times. We can trust him. He's the great God, Jehovah. No matter what's going on in your life or my life, God can solve those problems, people. There's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. God can melt a man's heart. And when I say man, I mean mankind. That means everybody. God can melt a man's heart under the unction and power of Almighty God. Amen. He's the one that can bring a man to his knees and worship the king that he once cursed. That's the kind of God we serve. And Elisha the king, not Elisha, the king of Israel said, go and find where Elisha is. Because they found out who it was. They said, it's Elisha the prophet that's telling him everything. And he said, go get him. So they couldn't find him, so they finally found him and surrounded him in Dothan. And we think, oh my God, he's dead. But let me tell you this. When the enemy comes like a flood, God lifts up the standard. And God knows how to protect his people. Look at this. This is where we're going to start with the story. 2 Kings chapter 6, look at verse 16. And he, talking about Elijah, answered, fear not, for they who be with us are more than they who be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes, talking about Elisha's servants, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray you, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And I'm going to just stop right there. Look, sometimes God has to open our eyes to see. Look, sometimes during our walk with the Lord, the pressures of life get so hard, huh? It does. And sometimes we think, honestly, that the enemy's winning. Huh? We see our children and maybe they're not doing what they should do, or they're not living for the Lord. Or we see our spouse and they're not living for the Lord, or doing things not good. Or we see family, friends, whatever it is, situations going on. Elisha the prophet saw that they were surrounded by the enemy. But also God showed their prophet, look what I have done. And he said, open the eyes of my servant that he may see. Look. We may be in our homes. We may be in our churches. And I know spiritually we can't see beyond the natural unless God opens our eyes spiritually to see. And when his eyes were open, he saw hundreds and hundreds of chariots of fire, horses around about that land of Dothan, the city. What the enemy brought to destroy, God said, I'm going to destroy you. And look, blindness came upon those people. And it says that the prophet led them away. Blind. Look, God will take care of you and I.
Yes, amen.
We have to stay in the shadow of our God, the Almighty God, people. Just stay under Him. You might say, Pastor, how do I pray? Say, Lord, I put my faith and my trust in You, Lord, and nothing else. Put my faith and trust in You. Prayer changes things, people. The devil will try to tell you it won't work. But let me tell you, he knows that's the most powerful thing. That and the Word of God, quoting the Word of God. As it says, the Word of God is like a two-edged sword that divides to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. My Lord. Peter, as he was walking on that water, you know, they thought it was a ghost. Here they were going to the other side of the land. And they finally realized it was Jesus walking on the water. Let me tell you, anybody that can walk on water, that's God. That's God. That's the God you serve. That's the God you serve. He can walk on water. He made water. He made the earth and everything in it. He made it all. He made you. You are His child. He loves you. God loves us. Amen. He's walking on that water. And they finally realize it's God, Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really You, bid me to come. Got out of that boat, walking on water. He's the only other one that I know of, human being, that ever walked on water, that I know of. I mean, you know. That's been recorded. We don't realize we serve a miracle working God. Amen. Who can supply for us, that can heal, that can move people. There's no limits to our God. As we submit to the will of our Father, there's no limits to what He can do. And yet we know Peter, as he's walking on the water, he's looking at Jesus. He got his eyes off of Jesus, and he got his eyes on something else, on the waves. And it says that he started to sink. And Jesus came up to him and pulled him up. Sometimes you and I may feel like we're sinking. But I tell you what, the greatest prayer, and we're talking about prayer, the greatest prayer you can ever pray is help. Help, Lord. Lord, I need help. Because you know it? He knows if you calling out for help, you've reached the end. You're calling out for help. You're saying, Lord, there's no other one that can give me hope but You, Lord. Help. Can you imagine? He starts to sink, but he's the only one that's walking on water. What about these other guys there? I respect him for that. To believe God. And God will never let us sink. God will always be there for us. Don't think that your problem will make you sink. It may make you greater than ever before. Because you'll learn how faithful God is. You'll learn what He can do and what He can't do. How faithful is He? How faithful is He? Let's look at some things. Because we're talking about prayer. And people, you know, you might say, Pastor, how much should we pray? Every day pray. I can't tell you. You know, you have some people say you have to spend an hour in prayer, 30 minutes, and they're getting that from out of their head. But I tell you what, you just pray every day. You know, you might take 30 minutes, and that's fine, praying and reading your word. You might take an hour because you have more time to do it. Go ahead and do it and pray and seek God's face. You might have an hour and a half. Go ahead and do it. You might be able to split things up and you go ahead and do it. But do it and pray. Seek God. Seek Him with everything within you. He's the only one that can change the heart of a person. He's the only one that can take His hand and go deep within the crevices of our heart and go into all the secret places of our hearts. We have a lot of secret places. He's the only one. And hey, let me tell you, God doesn't want you to spread your secrets all over. You share your secret with God. And you let the Spirit of God come in. And let Him heal those things that need to be healed. And help you in those areas that need to be, that you need help in. That's the kind of God we serve. He's an intimate God with His people. No one person is more important than any other. People may have different callings, and God will do different things because of the calling, and He will equip for that calling, and He will give you the strength and the power to do that calling. But everybody's the same, just children of the living God. You can call upon Him at 2 o'clock in the morning, and let me tell you, He's not asleep. He's alive and well. You can call upon Him at 1 o'clock in the morning. He's not asleep or on vacation. He's alive and well. He's alive and well, ready to hear your request, ready to hear you pray and petition Him, ready to give you the comfort and the care and the need that you have to live a life that is totally given unto Him, ready to give what is needed. That's the kind of God that we serve. He cares about us. Even when we reject what He wants to give us, He still cares and draws people unto Him. That's the kind of God we serve. No matter what's going on in your life, you can depend on God. And His name is Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The three are one, but yet three distinct different beings. They work, act as one in unison together. Peter called upon God, Jesus, for help. And Jesus gave him the help that was needed. He prayed. I know some things we pray about, you're thinking, Pastor, God has still not answered. I understand. I have prayers too that God has not answered yet. Been praying for a long time about these things. Do I give up on praying? No. You never give up. Amen. Good job, guys. Do we redirect our prayer maybe? Maybe we have to redirect some things. You see, this is the deal. You and I gave our hearts to the Lord. He wants to answer our prayer. But we have to get in the order that He wants it to be done. We have to get in that line. Lord, how do you want to answer this? Or you don't want to answer it. Ooh. See, we keep praying. We keep believing. And the Spirit of God will show us what to do. You see, as Christians, we're supposed to live where? By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of, we're to be led by the Spirit of God. We're to be ordered by the Spirit of God. Because what He says is what we do, not what we think. When somebody, when somebody says something like this, I feel like I want to cringe. Because I know it's not coming from the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't work. But usually when they feel, they're going by feelings. We're not to be led by feelings. We're to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. Now, hey, we have feelings, you know. We like this, don't like that, whatever it is. We got to really be careful with the Spirit of the Lord, though, being led by the Spirit of God. Now, God wants to answer all our prayers. What hinders us from God answering our prayers? I'm going to just go over maybe a few. There's probably a whole lot more. But to hinder, let me just give you a definition of what hinder is. An obstacle that stands sharply in the way of a moving object. An obstacle that stands sharply in the way of a moving object. So, the enemy will try to hinder your prayers from being answered. He will try to put up things between you praying to the Father and you getting the answer to that prayer. He will try to do whatever he can to stop it. Okay? That's what he does. He tries to stop the children of God from fulfilling what God wants. Some of the things that he tries to hinder is unforgiveness. Ooh. And let me tell you, you might say, Pastor, do I have unforgiveness in my heart? Let me tell you this. Living your life and my life, when we set out not to forgive somebody, that's a danger problem. If we have a hard time forgiving somebody, but we've gone to God and said, Lord, I need help, that's totally different. Yes, totally different. When we set out, not because of a hurt, because of whatever happened in the situation, and we say we'll not forgive, that's a problem. Yes, now, but we can go on the other hand and we can say, Lord, help me to forgive. Then you may have the same feelings. See, we don't live by feelings, huh? We don't live by feelings. But Lord, help me to forgive. Because you see, that unforgiveness towards that person or whatever situation it is hinders you from receiving what God wants. So, we as Christians, we live in this world and we go through life and things happen to us. But we got to stand firm. Lord, I will forgive. But Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to have love towards that person. Help me to do what is right. That doesn't mean you'll be the best of friends ever again. But you have to live your life unto him that you don't want anything to hinder you from God giving what you have prayed about. And so you set yourself saying, Lord, I will forgive. And then you know what? You let the Spirit of God work that in you and I. You see? Some things are very hard to bear. But I tell you what, God wants you free. Free. Free from the bondages. Free from things. God wants us free to do what he wants us to do. Something else. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Let's turn there. 1 Peter 3, 7. 21:57. Look at verse 7. It says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And he just means weaker as far as physically. That's just how it is. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You can go back and read chapter 3, and because of time's sake, I can't. Starting with husbands and wives. And, you know, if things aren't correct, it hinders people. You don't hear that too much in churches. But I tell you what, it's a truth. Things have to be right. But it hinders. It's a block. And you might say, well, is everything going to be totally correct? Well, may not so, but you strive for whatever it can happen. You don't want anything to hinder God from being able to give you what you're praying about. Pride and arrogance, or pride and selfishness, is another one. You can find that in James chapter 4, verse 3. We're not going to turn there. Pride and selfishness, those things can hinder prayers from being answered. Look, I want all of your prayers to be answered. Because you know why? It brings glory and honor to God. When you stand and you're talking to people and you say, man, look, I prayed about this to God and he answered my prayer. You know what that does? It builds faith more in you, and it builds faith in that person you're telling. My God. And we want God, we want God's people's faith to be built up that they can believe for the miraculous. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us, Lord God. Help my unbelief, Lord God. Help me, Lord God, to believe you like I've never believed you before, Lord. To see the things that God has requested or wants to give us from the heavens above, my Lord. There's no limits to what God wants to do. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to be closing. Page 666. Should we turn to another page? No. It's just a number. And thank the Lord when that, just a bar note, when that number comes out where you can't buy or sell and all that stuff, don't worry about it, Christians. You won't be here. The rapture of the church will take place before that stuff. Then the man of evil shall be revealed after the light has been taken out. Oh, you might say, well, is he born now? I would say so, because the way things are going. Yes. But who it is, we don't know. Who it is, we don't know. Look at verse 1. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Can you imagine? Somebody comes to you, they knock on your door and you say, look, I have something to tell you. I've been praying. And I have to tell you, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Some may shout, I don't know. Some may say, oh Lord, what do I need to put in order? Some may say, let me go get my finances in order. Some may say, let it all ride. Take me out of here. Who knows? Then it says in verse 2, then he turned his face to the wall. Now this is talking about Hezekiah. And he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass after Isaiah was gone out in the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, now look, I'm going to read verse 5 soon. Hezekiah, the prophet, came to him and said, get your house in order, for you are about to die. Hezekiah, for the most part at the beginning, was a great king. God had prospered the Israelites. Prosperity turned the heart of Hezekiah towards things. And there's nothing wrong with prosperity. Nothing at all. The church is more prosperous than ever before, the body of Christ today. We probably have more money than a lot of worldly things in aspects. We have the greatest auditoriums, greatest things. I mean, 100 years ago, you had hay bales that people sat on, crates that people sat on in churches. No electricity, no running water, zero, no money. We have a lot of money today. We have great seats to sit in. Thank you, Lord. We have electricity. Thank you, Lord. We have AC. Thank you, Lord. We have some heat. Amen. We may not like the prices we get every month, but they're still okay. We'll pay it. He provides, that's right. But here we see he turned his heart. And the prophet came and said, "You shall die." And he knew something wasn't right. And I'll read it again, verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Let me tell you, that's one of the greatest scriptures. He turned. You know, he could have turned and ran and said, "I'll do what I want to do. You're not going to take my life." I mean, he could have been hard like Pharaoh. But his heart melted. That he was kind of in, he turned his face to the wall to be with only God, not to have people looking at him. But he was melting on the inside. And he repented and said, "Lord, forgive me." You see, sometimes we can get off track a little bit sometimes, huh? And God has to allow something to happen to bring us back in fellowship with him. Because you see, he loves us. God loves you. And let me tell you this. I know there's a doctrine out there that says once saved, always saved. That is not truth. You can read it in Scripture many places. God is saying, "Seek me." Now, that doesn't mean we won't go through things. And look, his saving grace is saving grace. The blood is very powerful. But somebody that once knew God as a young boy, a young girl, and gave their heart to the Lord, and then grows up and puts their fist towards God and curses God and lives like the devil and could care less about the things of God, there's no way that he will split heaven wide open. But you have some that believe, "Hey, he's saved. He's in, no matter how he," that's not truth. The fruits of it. You might say, "Well, Pastor, that's a hard thing." Yes, it is. But I tell you, isn't it good to know it here than after we close our eyes for the last time? That we are to seek God. Now, his blood is sure, people. Look, you're not in Christ one day and out of Christ the next day. You love God. You love him with all your heart. And God keeps you in the fold there. God keeps you. It's secure in him. Like someone said, the church doesn't realize how saved they are. And the world doesn't realize how lost they are. You see? That blood keeps us in the fold. Unless we turn and don't want to serve him. That's totally different. But God keeps his promises. And here we see, he turned his face to the wall. That melts my heart, people. "I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, it feels good sometimes to cry, huh? It just does. The weight on our shoulders, you get alone, you just cry before the Lord. You're saying, "Lord," sometimes you may not even know why we're crying. But it's just like a cleansing. The power and the presence of Almighty God. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him again. And Isaiah went back to Hezekiah and he says, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. Thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add," verse 6, "unto your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and his city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend his city for his own sake and for my sake, David." Always believe that God hears your prayers. The devil will try to destroy your faith in your God, saying he doesn't care and doesn't listen. Not truth. All he did, Hezekiah, was turn to the wall, repented. Tears came down his face. He asked for forgiveness. He didn't know. He thought he still was going to die that day. And God talked to the prophet again and said, go tell him. I will add 15 more years, my Lord. You see how powerful repentance is, how powerful prayer is, how powerful our God can move upon a situation. The ironic thing is, though, he knew he had 15 years. He knew when he was going to die. I mean, he knew when he was going to die in 15 years. When he got about 7.5 years, he said, oh, I'm past the 50%. But I tell you what, those 15 years, God added to him because of his mercy and grace. Look, you can change the heart and mind of God by your actions of repentance and letting God move. My, I mean, it's an amazing story. Go and read it this week, what God did, how God did it. Prayer changed the situation. Death could have, it was coming that day, but God prolonged it 15 years. That's the kind of God we serve. You might say, does the Lord hear my prayer when I'm in the truck, you know, working? Does the Lord hear my prayer when I'm on my job? Does the Lord hear my prayers when I'm just sitting at a desk, you know, doing my work? Does the Lord hear my prayer when I'm walking and running and doing all kind of stuff, you know, trying to keep fit, you know, all that stuff? God hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. And you don't know what God will do in the future for you. Keep a heart after God. Keep humble before him, letting God move like he wants to move. Keep a repentant heart. Don't become callous to the things of God or hard towards the things of God. Let your heart be pliable to the things of God. We may not understand it all, but there's a difference between rejecting God and not understanding his ways sometimes. There's a total difference. Rejecting God says, I don't want it. Not knowing what God wants means, okay, well, Lord, I don't understand it. I believe it, though, and help my unbelief. Totally different. Totally different. Let God do what he wants to do. Keep on praying for those wayward children. Keep on praying for your family and friends. Keep on praying for your grandchildren. My Lord, keep on praying for your children. Keep on praying and asking God to move. Asking God to move. Like he's never moved before. God can do all things as we humble ourselves before him. Amen. Well,